It's just that pollen, man. Horny ass trees.
I can definitely say, that's funny. I can definitely say, like, my allergies have gotten worse for me as I've grown up.
Really?
Like, this shit is terrible. Like, I was okay playing sports and being outside in the grass and everything when I was younger. Now, give me about an hour, maybe 45 minutes tops before I start sneezing, sniffling. Like, yeah, it's wraps. My face get fat, all that shit.
I think we have to put respect on allergens that's in food as well. I think that gets overlooked a lot as humans. Yeah. And of course, the shrimp tastes good, the bread tastes good, but something in those nutrients or those ingredients can trigger something in your body that makes you allergic to it, whether you know it or not. It may make your face puffier, it make you itch, sneeze. So just be aware of that too.
Right.
I would say.
Nah, this shit is hell, man. This shit is hell. Being in Georgia, I feel like it's one of the most greenest places on earth, too. So it's like, it only makes it that much worse. So if you're here, definitely protect your neck. You know what I'm saying? Take your allergy pills, drink your teas, all that good shit.
I think it's been raining so far pretty often. Yeah, it has. I would say in the season of spring so far this year.
It's been making it worse. It's been making it worse.
You think it's been working? I thought the rain washes the pollen away, if anything.
I mean, maybe it gets it out the air, maybe it gets it off the surfaces, but them shits is still in bloom. The motherfuckers is still, you know what I'm saying, nothing in the air. It's still out here, bro.
Hey, yo.
It's still out here. You still breathing it in, bro.
But how's your mental doing, King? Before we jump into the pod.
Yeah, nah, I'm cool. I can't really complain too much, you know what I'm saying? I'm in okay spirits. I'm not like, you know, actively going through the darkest part of my life. It's still a process. It's still something that, you know what I'm saying, I'm trudging along through, but I'm okay. Like, I got a smile. You feel me? We cool, so. And all you can do is really, like, you know what I'm saying, have the faith in it getting better. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I've been, like, clinging to is that light at the end of that motherfucker, because, you know.
Let go and let God.
Exactly.
I know it sounds cliche and we hear that a lot, but sometimes we talked about the uncontrollables, right? Certain things in life you're not going to be able to control, so you're going to have to learn to maneuver through it or reconcile and run parallel with it.
Exactly. So it is. That's how it is. So how is your docket looking? Well, first of all, I'm sorry. How is your mental?
I'm not going to lie, man. Well, first and foremost, RIP, KD, Big Christian, facts. You know what I'm saying? Last week, I got a lot of people that reached out to us or reached out to me specifically, not just about the episode, but just how my mental well-being is. So I appreciate y'all out there, first-timers, last-timers, and in-betweeners. But I'm not going to lie, bro. I've been feeling like I've been in the dream for past week now. I've been in the dream, I feel like. You know, every day feels unreal to me since my guy is no longer here with us. I'm not trying to harp on that too long on this episode, but I got to continue to express my gratitude towards him while he was here, man. And even though he's not here in flesh, he's here with us in spirit. So a part of him is in both of us and everybody else that he impacted in his time here. But to answer your question, I think I'm all right, bro. Just trying to take it one day at a time, live with purpose, and yeah, I'm here. I can't complain.
So there really is to it. We're here.
So I guess we can introduce that introduce this thing. You know what I'm saying? Peace and love. Salutations to the planet. What's going on, world? It's Trey.
And it's Scott checking bike in here, man.
Welcome back to another harmonious episode of the Bro Chillians podcast. Episode 144?
144 of them, yes, sir.
See, hey, man. I've been on fire.
Yes, sir. I've been on fire. Keep track with them, for sure. I mean, this week, you know what I'm saying, the docket is not too crazy on my side. I didn't really have too much. And my head has been scatterbrained everywhere. So
same.
I haven't really had too much time to really dive in and actually get a good docket going, you know what I'm saying? So we just going to make this motherfucker flow, how we make it flow.
And I think people have to understand out there too, man, that everybody's going through something, whether it's good or bad, whether it's, you know, something huge in their life or something that's minute.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Never question what somebody's going through. Everybody copes with it different. Everybody heals different. Everybody goes through life completely different, right? We all come from all walks of life. So I just have to get that out there.
No,
because I can kind of sense it in you. I know you said you're kind of going through a hard time right now.
Yeah.
First and foremost, you know, I got your back.
Mm-hmm.
Like some foes on the Cadillac. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
But yeah, man, we got each other to lean on, bro. That's the biggest thing more than anything. We got each other to lean on.
I appreciate the sentiment. For sure, see, always. But nah, like I was gonna say, this docket isn't really too crazy this week. Did you who's Segway King? How we doing this?
I don't even remember last time who was Segway King, or I don't know.
We just been balling.
We can kind of play off of each other on some March Madness. It's not even March Madness anymore. It's April.
It's
April.
How did them dockets end up for you? Or the brackets, I'm sorry. The brackets. How did the brackets end up for you?
Well, I told you, I never did a bracket myself. Did I say docket or racket?
I don't know. I think you said docket.
Okay. Everybody's bracket was shattered.
Yeah.
Let's just say that, right? Nobody's bracket was perfect. I did predict that Kansas was going to beat UNC, though, in the final.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was a great game. I think, ultimately, UNC broke down towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Love stopped hitting shots, and they just kind of struggled through, like, the last 3-4 minutes of the game.
Yeah. You got a little cold. I did catch much of the second half of that one. Mm-hmm. But it was a great game. It was crazy. I didn't expect it to go how it went, but yeah, like you said, they started falling apart at the end.
I guess shout out to Kansas, right? Tremendous performance. Yeah, flowers to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas Nation.
March Madness was one of those. I think this season, one of those to watch, because it was upset season. It was a lot of shit that we didn't expect to go on to that went on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, shout out to all them teams that participated. And all those that gambled and won money, I guess, and all those that gambled and lost money. Shit, shout out to y'all, too.
But, yeah, I'm going to kick it to you, man, in the corner for three. So you can go ahead and start off the first topic for us.
I don't know. How you want to get off? This will be the only thing. Okay. This will be the only thing that I'll say about this topic. And we can, you know what I'm saying, get up off it, because I don't even want to spend too much time here, because we went too deep into it last week, and I mean, who gives a fuck anyway, because it's none of our business. But I kind of spoke on it last week in saying that it probably would happen, but Netflix has already pulled out of doing a movie with Will Smith because of what happened at the Oscars. I mean, yeah, Oscars.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, 2 weeks back?
Last week.
So I definitely didn't really see that happen. I didn't want it to happen, but I just felt like it might be one of those, you know what I'm saying, repercussions of the fact. But I don't know. I felt like I had to put that on there because, you know what I'm saying, we talked so much about it last week and we had so many opinions on it last week.
Right. And I know some time has passed since then. We've, you know, sat longer to digest it, but my sentiments are still the same. You know, I think it's very inexcusable. And it's unacceptable for what Will Smith did on that stage. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just tarnish, I wouldn't even say tarnish his legacy, because he still has a legacy in Hollywood. He's still a phenomenal actor. I'm not going to even say that. But just tarnish the experience for people out there watching and people who look up to him out there. And, you know, two people that we deem kings of our culture, Chris Rock and Will Smith. So my sentiments I expressed last week are the exact same as this week, man. Totally uncalled for. It's a coof thing for me. It's a way about going to speak. It's a way about giving feedback to somebody in that moment. You know what I'm saying? And granted, you shouldn't have smacked him. You could pull him to the side after. If you want to smack him off stage, cool. I'm not condoning the smack, period, but it's like, if that's what she was going to do, you could have addressed that in a different room. I don't really have much left to say about it. That's just kind of where I stand at.
No, I definitely feel that. Definitely. I saw this other video about how women are viewing the male responses to what happened, and how they're, I guess, judging our characters off of what we truly care about in how we responded to the video.
I don't even pay attention to social media on that at this point, because I told you it's a fictitious construct.
Yeah.
I've muted the word Will Smith. I've muted the word slap. I'm not trying to see any of that in my algorithms. I'm just trying to see sneakers, baby hairs, and sports and dogs.
Baby
hairs. On my Explore page. That's what I'm trying to see.
That is crazy. Actually, speaking of awards, did you want to get into the Grammys?
Yeah, actually we can.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I haven't watched the Grammy in a few years.
I only watched a couple of the awards. Mm-hmm. I was a little busy this weekend, so I was just in and out. But I did catch Jasmine Sullivan won the Grammy for...
Yeah, air horns to that. Yeah. Air horns. And we deemed that a classic the moment it came
facts,
out.
Facts. I know. Facts. And, I mean, she won over Snow, her, a couple other people, too. But those were the notable ones that I didn't expect her to win over. But I was pleasantly surprised. But shout out to you, Queen. That was a dope-ass tribute to her.
She won Best R&B Performance, Pick Up Your Feelings. The nominees were Leave the Door Open by Silk Sonic, mm-hmm. Damaged by her, Peaches, Justin Bieber featuring Daniel Caesar and Jivion, and Snow, Lost You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she had, you know what I'm saying, a good little network of people she was running up against, for sure. The nominees were crazy.
And we can start, honestly, bro, I have it pulled up, so the ones that we care about, we can really discuss.
You go for it.
I'm gonna start at the top. So Record of the Year, Leave the Door Open, won by Silk Sonic. Mm-hmm. I believe that was well deserving. The other other competition, it was Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, Lil Nas, Doja Cat, and SZA.
Okay.
So I could see that being a close race, but I can understand why Leave the Door Open won over those, because I don't know about you, but I was jamming that a lot of the year last year.
Yeah, it was up there. It was at the top of the list for a minute, not just being numbers, man, but like just on radio stations or just anywhere playing at anybody's event. Like, that was definitely on the playlist for sure.
Leave the Door Open also won Song of the Year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Best New Artist, Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
Let me see. Who else do we have here?
I think Baby Keem won Best New Artist, if I'm not mistaken.
That was Olivia. She won that.
Okay. I know Baby Keem won one. I just can't remember.
I'm trying to pull
the specific
it up here.
Name of it. I never remember the names, to be honest.
Best Traditional R&B Performance, which I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
But her one, the song Fight For You.
Not mad, okay.
Other it's songs clean. That was in it, Lucky Day, How Much Can a Heart Take, Born Again by Leon Bridges, Preacher and Robert Glasper, Bring It Home To Me, BJ the Chicago Kid, PJ Morton, and Kenyon Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
Best R&B Song, Leave the Door Open. Dang, so they just cleaned up during the...
They were nuts. They were nuts.
Anderson .Paak and Bruno, they really just cleaned up during the whole...
Well-deserved, though.
Yeah.
Well-deserved, because that shit is a classic. Like, who do you know that could really bring back that sound and that just, like, wave of music and wave of, like, visual, like, you know what I'm saying, creativity, excuse me, from that era. Like, nobody's doing it like that.
And there was some heavy hitters in that category. Good Days by SZA, that was the shit. It still is the shit.
Exactly.
Damage, what?
Yeah, it was crazy.
That could have won. Pick Up Your Feelings by Jazz Sullivan.
It could have. It definitely could have. But listen, that man Anderson .Paak showed up with the silk press on. You feel me?
that attributed to the award?
Yes, the silk press. The motherfucking bouncing. Yes, you feel me? And then... Both of them, they got big teeth. I feel like that plays into the
big
outfit.
Big teeth?
Yes. It plays into the
hell.
Outfit. No, it really does. And I think Bruno Mars had, like, the curly fro. Like, they was rocking it. You know what I'm saying?
I know the Grammys took teeth in consideration.
I don't think they do. I do. It's just something, like, that played into the likeness.
Best Progressive R&B Album. Again, I don't know what they mean by progressive R&B. What would be non-progressive R&B?
I don't want to say what I'm thinking.
Is it misogynistic?
No.
Okay.
Maybe it might be racist, but...
Okay, let's not do that. Okay. Here in the Brochilians, we do not... Table for Two, Lucky Day is the one who won Best Progressive R&B album. Best R&B album, Jasmine Sullivan won, Hotels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she went up against Back in My Mind by her, Temporary Highs in the Violet Skies by Snow. Let me see. Best Rap Performance, Baby Keem and Kendrick. This is the
Best
one you were referring
to.
Yeah,
that's
the
name.
I think it's well-deserved, man. When this record came out, even up until this point, Baby Keem has been doing a phenomenal job with his rollout and the singles that he released.
He has. No, he definitely has. And he's one of the youngest, if I'm not mistaken, that won a Grammy this year.
Granted, he does have, you know, a unicorn in Kendrick, which is his family member,
sure,
on the record. But even with Kendrick not on the record, just by itself, it slaps. It was exactly. Going to go off. I think that should have been nominated for an award.
Right. And I think, like, outside of the features that he does have, he's been, like, standing on his own, too. Like, with the other music that he's made, maybe, like, the album in its completion, the ones that don't have features, like, that were solely him, they still slide. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Baby, Kanye, and The Weeknd won Best Melodic Rap Performance with Hurricane. Mm. I was actually jamming that today. Okay, I'm not okay. mad at that.
Yeah.
Runner-up for me would have been What's Your Name? Tyler, the Creator. Okay. With NBA Youngboy and all mm. them. And all them. I mean, really mean Ty Dolla $ign.
Facts.
Best Rap Song. Guess Who's Going to Jail Tonight?
Of course he won. Of course he won.
I don't know.
I like this song.
That could have went to My Life. That could have went to Family Ties. I could argue that.
I mean,
I don't play Guess Who's Going to Jail Tonight. But again, the Grammys don't look at Trey Matthews as the one who they're, you know.
Family Ties probably would have been the only one that. Mm,
come on. That Murray?
My life is, yeah. My life does go nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's hard. I probably wouldn't have given it to the K-Man. But, yeah. Hey, it is what it is.
It gives me that A Lot vibe, that J. Cole mm-hmm. and 21 song. That won last year in the Grammys.
Yeah, it did.
So
it did.
I thought they were just going to double up on one.
They couldn't do it.
Best Rap Album, Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator.
Okay.
I think we actually predicted that as well. I want to say these were the ones that we talked about possibly going for a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
Call Me If You Get Lost, Donda, King's Disease 2, The Offseason.
Yeah.
Those are all heavyweight hitters in the genre of rap. So whoever it went to, I wouldn't have been mad in this category, honestly.
Honestly, I would have probably put Off Season first.
Nah.
And then King Disease.
Nah.
And then Call Me If You Get Lost.
Nah.
And then Donda.
Nah.
That's just me, though.
Call Me If You Get Lost, King's Disease 2.
Mm-mm. Sick.
Donda, then Off Season.
You're sick as fuck. What the hell?
I'm not.
You put Donda over the Off Season?
I'm not sick.
That is fucking crazy. Yo.
Production-wise, cohesiveness, sound quality-wise, yes.
I'm not hearing it.
Yes.
That's wild. I'll let you have that, but that's honestly crazy to me. Let me see. What else is on here? I mean, we're in this room.
But that was all the ones that we really care about, unless you want to get into Best New Age Album and Best Country Album.
I don't really care about the Grammys.
You're not up for some Chris Stapleton?
I mean, Chris Stapleton is a legend, don't get me wrong, but I'm not a country music fan, like, at all, to be honest.
Okay.
But I mean, we're in this realm. We can kind of get into music if you want. I don't know if there was anything new. Well, I do know the only thing that I want to talk about in music, mm-hmm. the only thing that I'm concerned about, you probably could guess.
What's that?
D-Day. The, 15 piece, all drum.
Oh, yeah, Dreamfest was this weekend also.
It was.
I actually got invited, but I didn't have the bandwidth to attend.
Yeah, I feel you. They performed a couple other songs off of D-Day at the festival, too.
I do appreciate the authenticity and how unique the rollout was. They hit you with a Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm going to give y'all time to digest it for the weekend and before the festival. So I do give them their flowers and condemn them on that. However, I was not really fooling with the entire mixtape.
Jesus, why? Tell me why.
I didn't really care about any of these songs, to be honest with you. Now, the standouts for me, it was Coz, it was Jid, it was Omar, Ari Lennox, but most of these records I'm not going back to. That's just my honest opinion on it. And I knew you was going to give me this look because I think you have it from a pretty biased standpoint because you fuck with the entire campaign of Dreamville. It's not that I don't. It's just that's just your duffel. You know what I'm saying? Like, 9 times out of 10, that is your duffel. For me, I have to be in the mood to listen to Loot or listen to whoever else was on here. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't really care for it, to be honest with you. It was cool that, you know, this is their third tape that they've done together as a camp. Mm-hmm. Not many other camps out there are doing that. But ultimately, I may be going back to, like, 4 records, to be honest with you. Ari Lennox bodied that remake.
She did. Honestly, I see no skips at all.
I knew you was going to say that.
I see no skips. That motherfucker is perfect.
It's not perfect.
From the intro to the outro, from Stick to Heaven's EP. Fucking nuts.
And what that I was would like say, J. Cole, give us another record.
What the fuck? Them two that J. Cole slid on hit by himself?
But Heaven's EP was kind of old already. We've already heard that.
Oh my God. What?
You didn't have to attach that, but I get it for streaming purposes. Bro. Numbers, man. I get it.
Listen, okay. I won't be numbers, man, at all.
No, not you. I'm talking about J. Cole's numbers, man.
I guess. Sure. That shit, honestly, in my opinion, did not miss. It did what it needed to do right before the festival. And fucking Gangsta Grillz collab, the shit was perfect for the type of sound it is and for what they went for. Like, it's not a, you know what I'm saying, a Revenge of the Dreamers. It's a fucking D-Day. It's a motherfucking, we about to come for your head and shove these verses down your fucking throat, because that's what the fuck they did. Like,
I'm not trying to be funny. I've seen nobody nuts. Talking about this on the timeline either.
Listen, that shit is ridiculous, and maybe it's because there's so much shit going on, because it was the R&B festival this weekend. It was 404 Day. It was Dreamville. It was, I think, a couple games that happened outside of the end of March Madness. It was a lot of shit going on. So maybe that's why it's not being talked about so much. I don't know. But I do know for the Dreamville fans, this one.
So let me ask you this. Out of the three tapes they dropped, Revenge of the Dreamers,
that might D-Day. Be better. D-Day might be better than Revenge of the Dreamers 2.
But it's not better than the first one?
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah, nah. Only because Revenge of the Dreamers 2 was like more... I feel like more feature-based, and the features that was on there, I didn't really like go... I didn't really love when it comes to replay value, like those songs, but...
I'm probably never going back to any of these songs on D-Day.
I feel you.
Spade to Spade.
Honestly, and you said the same thing about Revenge of the Dreamers, too.
Still haven't been back.
Exactly, so I'm not, like, mad at it. I don't... Listen, that's cool. Me, I'm going back to it every day. I've been back to it every day since that Thursday. Shit was amazing. I listened to it at 7 on the dot. But that's just me, though. Was there any other music that you wanted to get to?
Come on, that Warm Embrace dropped by Chris Brown.
Ooh! I actually haven't listened to it. Because I've been listening
to it. Let me bless your ears. Excuse me. I'll just play a couple minutes of it on my laptop, or I should say a couple seconds, rather, so we don't get flagged. Already out the gate, this is not the iffy Chris Brown. This is the Chris Brown that we wanted. He knew the assignment this time around. Mm-hmm. Writer or not, mm-hmm. whoever wrote this, if it was Christopher Brown himself or somebody mm-hmm. else in the booth, it don't matter.
Okay.
Bro. Hey. Hold on. I got you. Yeah. This is the Chris Brown, the maturity level, and just everything we were looking for. I don't even think he cursed at all in this song.
I'm dead.
When's the last time you heard that on a record of his?
I don't know. I couldn't.
It's been a hot minute.
I couldn't tell you. That's funny. But I'll definitely give it a gander, see how I feel about it, give it a couple spins. But no, I hadn't had a chance to listen to it yet. It sounds pretty good, though, off of, you know what I'm saying, first exposure to it.
And this is telling me that album season is approaching for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when that comes, everybody just move out the way. Nobody R&B drop.
I mean, I don't
just let him have his month.
Anybody else would want to drop. Anybody else in R&B, I don't think they would want to drop if they knew CB was dropping. Because why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
You're not getting any sales. You're not making no money. Why would you do that?
10K first week?
Done. What? Your marketing?
And I'm not trying to shit on 10K first week. Cause, raps. You know, but.
But in music streams now, that's not really... too much of
well
shit.
for
anybody that can run
industry
in class,
acts
that yes yeah. But in the class of CB, in the class of anybody in that realm who would drop at the same time as CB, mm-hmm. Nah, that shit is dead.
I was having this argument with a friend over the weekend, and he told me in the verses Chris Brown would lose to Trey Songz, and I don't even mean to bring up Trey Songz because he's been going through a lot allegation wise as of late. That's a whole different conversation. But if we're talking about strictly music...
Tremaine is not beating Chris Brown.
Trey Songz is not beating Chris Brown in the verses.
Nah, that's dead.
The album that he did bring up was, what is the one? Is it Ready? Yes. The one that has Neighbors Know My Name, yes, and all the, you know, instant classics on there. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think record for record, he's not beating Chris Brown in 20 songs.
He's not. One, because I could give you maybe two albums of Chris Brown's that are beating anything Tremaine has to offer.
What two albums?
Honestly, and you can really do all B-sides. I'll give you Indigo if you wanted to.
Well, to be fair, he did say, you know, if we're talking about strictly R&B, Chris Brown doesn't have a strictly R&B album that's beating Trey Songz.
He doesn't. Strictly R&B. But if we're, let's say, blurring the lines of genres, it's not necessarily all R&B or all pop.
If we're talking about a versus
and you giving me 20 on 20, nigga, there's no chance.
I'm sorry. Chris Brown doing flips. Yeah, flips on stage while the song playing.
He has a whole choreography set done. He's doing flips while he's dancing and singing at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, he's going to make you feel like Michael Jackson is in the building. Nobody's doing that. That shit is so dead. You know, not Tremaine. I don't think anybody could beat Chris Brown in a versus, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not Tremaine, especially.
But other than that, outside of music, I didn't really have anything else. Y'all still go stream Flourish by Omari M's. You know what I'm saying? Tommy Propane dropped something, March Madness Round 1, 6-song EP.
Okay. I've been seeing it, but I haven't listened to it yet.
Gotta check that out, bro. Some heat on there.
Definitely will do that.
I was actually late to his other album that he dropped, was it 2 years ago now, The Socialite. There's some shit on there, too, so shout out Tommy.
All right. Definitely gonna have to give it a gander. Fischowski. Let me see. What else? Did you get a chance to watch Atlanta?
Still haven't watched it. You know what it is? I think for me, they waited so long and dragged this out that I don't want to watch it anymore. I don't have any interest.
Maybe that's kind of how I feel about fucking Tommy season 2. I don't know.
But I don't even think with Tommy, they dragged it out. It was kind of like they waited to Power, the original Power, to end. Then they started, you know, a couple that episodes of Tariq. Dragged. And then that's when they began the spinoffs. You know, I don't think it was a dragged out rollout. But with Atlanta, it was like you've always had the same core, the same group, the same actors and actresses.
Yeah.
They just had to be on one accord because they were so damn busy. Filming Star Wars, Get Out, or whatever other movies they were in, right?
No doubt.
So for me, it's just like I kind of lost interest. I'm going to check it out once I get the opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
Life has just been a little hectic and crazy for me lately. And, you know, we make time for the things that we want. So in that 2 or 3 hour span, the time that I do have to consume some form of content, I might check out Bel Air first. I may check out Tommy first. Okay. I may listen to some Patreon of the JBP.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They have my attention compared to Atlanta. Y'all been gone for, what, 2 or 3 years now? And these are the final 2 seasons this year. And it's just like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even the rollout for it, I really didn't see anything Atlanta.
I'll let you have it.
But tell me about it, though. I'm not trying to shit on it. Like, if it's been a phenomenal season, let me know.
I'm going to hold my, like, you know what I'm saying, my reservations because I've seen it and you haven't. I like it, and I'm not going to say you won't, but you aren't.
Okay, so you like it.
Yeah, I told you that last week because this is the third episode that's come out. And for me, like, it's a dope season so far. It's right along the lines of what we're, you know what I'm saying, expecting of Atlanta, and also, like, still driving that, like, weird kind of almost like provocative humor, but yet it kind of like teeters that boundary of being like too much, like too far kind of, but at the same time, like, just within that realm of like, okay, this is what we need to like kind of like shape the culture and like spark like conversations type shit. I think it's there, like it's right on that line, so I love it for that reason. But
okay,
It's cool.
I'm gonna check it out. Still new. I'm gonna check it out again. I wasn't trying to rain on this parade.
No, but you're good.
I just have to have the bandwidth to check it out.
facts. You'll get there.
Did you see Bel Air?
I did.
You finished the season?
I did. That was the last episode.
Spoiler alert. What are your thoughts
about what, like, specifically? Because there was a lot of shit that happened. Like, from him meeting his dad, that shit going the way it went, to him deciding to leave, like, the house in general, that shit, like, I don't know, it's a lot to me.
I mean, I feel like we've discussed, you know, what the show was predicated on, which I do thoroughly enjoy. Mm-hmm. I just think the last episode, they could have made it a little bit better for us. You know what I mean? Okay. They built it up to the point where, yeah, he met his father, and now he's in controversy to where it's like, I can leave, but am I going to stay? Find out on the next season of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
They could have gave us a little bit more than just that cookie cutter episode 10 recap. But that's what they do to reel you in for more seasons. So I'm not mad at it. I think overall, out of the 10 episodes, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I like
all the actors and actresses were on point. Carlton, he did the damn thing with his role, man. I can't stand Carlton on the show.
I can't either.
And that's how you know you're doing a damn good job. Facts. If you want to punch the actor in the face, like by just watching the show.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, ultimately, man, it's more realistic. It's more dramatized. It's telling you about how, yeah, somebody, a teenager from West Philly, you know, is growing up and moves to Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
And drastically his life changes. And now he has to adjust to this new lifestyle of his rich ass family and mm-hmm. just the lavish things that comes with that. So just kind of seeing that, and I like how beautiful they highlighted us melanated people on there.
Right.
We don't always have to be killing people. We don't have to, you know, we have real world problems. So like the relationship thing he was going through with, what's the girl's name on the show? I can't think, but the girl that him and Carlton were fighting over throughout the whole season, damn near. Yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah. Just everything, Aunt Viv, like, it was just showing black excellence to me most of the time than just, oh, this is just some bullshit TV showing trauma. Us at our lowest.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that is, it may have started off with a little bit of trauma, but it's not predicated on the only thing that black people go through in life is trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's depicting him in a progressive light, but surrounded by black people that, you know what I'm saying, is telling of the culture, telling of how we and what we go through in life. I think it's dope. I loved it too. The season was lit as fuck. I need my man Jeffrey to get back to the crib as soon as possible, because he the realest one on the show in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's one of the ones that's like really about that life for real. But
Jazz
is cool as hell too. I think that's what's gonna end up happening. Like this next season, they're probably gonna like fast forward a couple weeks and Will probably end up at Jazz's crib for a couple weeks type shit. You know what I'm saying? Just to, like, get his mind right. Because I feel like you letting him go, one, what, go back to Philly? Doubtful. Two, leave anywhere else?
Listen, Jazz, all he cared about is that rump-a-dump.
Hey, and I mean, he getting it, though. He getting it. He nice with it. I'm not
He's smooth with it, too. Yeah. He's smooth with it. He's smooth with it on the show.
Pulling Hillary like that. It's just smooth. But so, nah, I'm not mad at
Should we answer this call live?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You are live on the air.
Shit. Yes, Sirski.
What's up? What's up?
Shit. Should I still ask you what I really want to ask you?
Yes, sir. Crazy. Ask you what you
want. I mean, hey, we on the air. Fuck it.
All right. I'm gonna speak in code because it's very like, you know, it's confidential.
Okay.
All right. First, we're gonna send our condolences. We're gonna send our love for KD because, you know, today was his, you know.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Damn, my heart is heavy about that. But I'm calling you because whenever you get the stems for what you get the stems for, it's lit. I found a beat.
Okay.
Other than that, y'all have a great pod.
All right, I'll hit you after.
Love.
Should we take this time to pause to take our break?
Or yeah, I'm actually a little parched. I'm actually a little parched.
If you could guess what's in my pocket right now.
Chocolate?
No.
You got pocket.
You got three guesses.
So, all right, chocolate.
That's one guess.
Shit. The Glock 9?
Nope. That's two guesses.
Money?
No, that's three guesses.
What? Bro, I feel like it's about to blow me. I feel like it's about to blow me.
I'm going to try not to show it on camera because they're going to come for my neck. Look.
Oh my god! Oh my goodness! I was gonna guess that. I was gonna guess that too.
I'm dead. That's funny as hell.
Don't ask. Let me ask you a question.
What's up?
What has five toes that's not your foot?
five toes, that's not my foot. Five toes, that's not my foot. My cable toe?
No. Well, yeah.
But no, but go ahead.
My foot.
You're, why did you do that? Like, why?
Shit, you asked me what's in your pocket.
I mean, okay, but that's different, though. That was a whole riddle. I just asked you to guess. I just asked you to guess. That's all. Let me see. All right, let's hop back in this docket.
Yo, what do you find successful and advantageous in relationships? What are, like, three key things that help mold and keep a relationship strong?
Three things that help mold and keep a relationship strong. I think one thing that helps mold is being in like any scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the only way you learn a person, the only way you learn how to move with a person is by being in any situation with them. So I think that's what helps mold it. I'd say time. Mm-hmm. And I would say I don't want to say like experience, because it's like more than like experiences. I think it's like trials and tribulations, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more than things just happening when we're together, but just like things that test us. And maybe they're like negative or positive things, but they test you in every facet of life.
I have something that can be on the same tree, but a different branch.
Okay.
One, I would say feedback. I think, well, not no particular order. Let me specify that.
You're right.
But one of the things I would say feedback, and what I mean by that is just hearing your partner out and hearing ways that you can enhance and optimize their experience of what you can do better as an individual. So if you have a partner trying to express their feelings to you, or you're trying to express it to them, they should hear you out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not just, oh, I'll just do it this way, you know, to resolve the issue. No, you're cutting off the head of what my point is. Let's get into the root cause of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't always try to aim for the head. Sometimes, yeah, go for the root and align and connect with that individual and let them know, like, okay, I do kind of understand where you're coming from. Let's navigate this way, or let's hash it out and talk about it and come to a resolution instead of giving up on each other.
Right. I think that goes, excuse me, that coincides with, you know what I'm saying, a person knowing the difference between hearing to respond and hearing to understand. Mm-hmm. You hear a person out to respond, it's like, okay, you're just trying to get to the root of the, not even get to the root of the issue, but just like pacify the issue, just kind of get it out the way. But when you listen to respond, or when you listen to understand, it's like you learn ways on what to do better in the future and how not to continuously repeat that same act or that same level of understanding.
Right. For me, the second thing would be honesty.
Okay.
We've heard and spoke on this pod about transparency is the real energy. Mm-hmm. Good or bad, tell me. Be honest before with me. Be 100.
Right.
I'd rather know in the moment now than be lied to and be more hurt later. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It makes my feelings worse.
No doubt.
So, yeah, transparency on any magnitude. Because when you lie about or fib about the smallest bit of information or a question I ask you that I already know the answer to, and maybe I shouldn't do that, because sometimes I do, you know, in my relationships, I have tested my significant other and asked them a question that I already know the answer to. I just want to see if you're going to lie or not.
Right.
So I'd be like, you know, hey, babe, did you do this? No. Yeah, you did. I'll catch him right there in the lie. Yeah, you did. I know you did, because 5 minutes ago I checked and I seen you do it. But I just wanted to see what you're going to say. And that speaks a lot to character, in my opinion, also, because if you lie something that's that minute about dishes or, you know, cleaning, whatever it is, something, some household bullshit, right? If you lie about that, what's the lie when you out go to the club, or when you're out to a party, or when I'm not around? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And we can have each other's location, but it's more than that. We can have each other's location, but what are you doing outside of the longitude latitude? Like, what else are you doing?
You have a great point. Nah, you have a great point.
And the third thing I think is respect. You know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody is owed respect. Even a stranger or a homeless person that I may see on the way out to, you know, head back to the crib. Mm-hmm. I always do my diligence. If I got a single in my pocket, if I got some Spanky, you know what I'm saying? Or if I got some change in the glove department, I'm going to give it. I owe. Every single day I owe this world. I owe everybody out there listening. I owe you. I owe that man I'm just talking about. I owe everybody. And not everybody feels that way. Some people do feel entitled. You know what I'm saying? But for me, I always feel like I was put here for a purpose, and that purpose was to inspire and to give back to my people and to give back to the world. So it's no telling how it can impact somebody's life by giving them $1 or $2 or shit. If I had it, I would cash up you $1 million if it was possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the testament of my character. That's just the foundation that I was built on. And that's just the principles and morals that were instilled in me as an adolescent.
I'm not mad at that at all. I did want to circle back to, I guess, even before you asked the question about what helps and what, like, shapes and molds a relationship. I have a question that I kind of saw on this video that I was watching. And before we get to, you know what I'm saying, what builds the relationship to keep that foundation strong. But do you think as men, do you think we find women less attractive that have, I guess, achieved everything that they want to achieve in life? Like, you know what I'm saying? Shorty may have on her list, like, I want, you know what I'm saying, my degree. I want, I guess, certain bracket in which she gets paid. She wants, you know what I'm saying, this big of a house. She wants these specific cars. She has all that. Now the only thing that she needs is a man. That's the only thing that she has left on her list. Do you think men find that less attractive?
What you just described, though, that sounds materialistic. You know what I mean? Everything you named is something that's tangible.
It is.
That degree, that house, that whip, that salary. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything that you just touched on, it can sound very daunting. I think, in my opinion, you should challenge that individual, right? If you see a future with that person and want to, you know, potentially grow old or spend some time with that person, you should challenge them. Okay, these were your goals and aspirations at 25, but what is your next level of accomplishment at 35? What do you see yourself at 50 years old? You know what I'm saying? How far are we thinking? Are we thinking one step or three steps ahead?
So you're saying no, but there needs to be some level of challenging, level of
shifting, like, to think. Yeah, progression.
Okay.
And I also had another conversation with a homie about this, about, you know, what's the difference between changing somebody and evolving somebody. So if I stepped in a situation like that, and you're complacent and you're materialistic, life is not about that. You know what I'm saying? We can have every single whip in the world, but I can be gone tomorrow. And I can't bury none of them whips with me.
It's very true.
So I think for one, just kind of realizing and understanding and shifting your perspective on life is much more than a Mercedes-Benz and a 5-household crib. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere in Atlanta or Texas. I think it's bigger than that. It's touching the people. It's impacting lives, it's changing lives, it's understanding one another, it's the good times, it's the happiness. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people say, you know, money can't buy you happiness, but to some people's eyes it can. You know what I'm saying? Money takes a lot of problems away. But I digress there. I don't know if I was kind of going off on a tangent, but I think for me, is it unattractive? I don't think it's unattractive. I just think it's a bit daunting, and I would definitely question your thought process before I decided to put my feet further in that pond.
Gotcha. I'm not mad at that answer.
What do you think?
Yeah, same for me. It's not less attractive, not at all. I would like that list to be, I guess, something that is never ending for real. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you to, as a person, to ever feel like I've achieved every single goal that I had in life. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you shouldn't feel like that ever in life. I feel like there should always be something more, something bigger, something different that you're trying to you know what I'm saying, achieve, because you haven't achieved everything in the world. So for you to feel like the last thing that you need to achieve in life is a man, I think that maybe
that's a red flag too.
It's a red flag because I think you're placing the wrong type of value in a man, or you're looking at that as something that you need to conquer when it shouldn't be that at all. Mm-hmm. So your perspective is off, and I don't know what it should be, but your perspective is off in that way of looking at relationships. And then two, excuse me, two, I feel like if you think that you have achieved everything in life, you're not looking at life the right way.
Right.
That's
yeah. And an independent thought to that, I don't want to suppress it as a gender woman specific conversation. This goes for men too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I had a homie that I was privy that, you know, all his goals were in life was to own the Acura, the newest Acura, own a condo, mm-hmm. get his degree, and have drip. Like, that's all that you want in life? Like, it's more to it. It's more, life is way more complex than just these things that we can just buy exactly. off the lot or buy on the shelf.
Exactly.
So I would have that conversation with anybody, not just a woman. That would be, man, that's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's for everybody. But I like where you're going in that direction.
And then last question that I had on my docket, because I saw Waka tweet something that was pretty funny to me. And he said, well, first I'll ask you this question. Do you think asking a woman or asking a man for a prenup before marriage is offensive?
I don't think so. I think it's proactive thinking instead of reactive thinking, right? Because everybody gets married with the intentions to be together for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get married for a business decision.
Right.
One of the two. So I think, you know, having that foundation and stating that from the very beginning, those lines don't get blurred down the line, hypothetically, if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Because life happens, right? People get unattracted to each other. People don't love each other the same as they did 5 years prior. You didn't marry the same woman that you thought she was at 22.
Mm-hmm.
So life happens. Life shifts our thinking. It shifts our narrative. It shifts everything. So to answer your question, I don't think it's rude at all. I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's just laying out a ground of rules that, you know, if this shit goes south, you're not walking away with half of my shit. Right. that I earned. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. And rightfully so.
Nah,
because rightfully so. Most of the time, who ends up being the breadwinner off of that? I don't have to say, and that's this is not a misogynistic conversation, or I'm not trying to throw shade or throw tomatoes, but that's just the reality of it, right?
I don't think that you could throw shade or throw tomatoes, because I don't think there, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm not saying it doesn't happen or it can't happen, but I don't think there has been too many cases where there's been a married couple that got divorced and the woman was the breadwinner and the man took half. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that
if that's happened, that's been very rare.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that hasn't, but I don't think that is a regular thing. And Waka tweeted, you know what I'm saying, women don't want to do half the work, or, you know what I'm saying, don't want to put up half of the effort, don't want to put up half of that fairness, but yet you want to leave with half of it. That's why I asked.
I don't even think it's that. It's simple enough. If I bought this house,
that's his sentiment, not mine. But
yeah. Well, I'm responding to Waka. If I bought this house, and she fully furnished it, and we divorce, I still should have the house. You can take all the furniture, and I can start over from scratch in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But this house shouldn't be yours. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not that black and white when it comes to the court system.
It should,
because the legalities of everything just depends, and it varies from state to state. And every situation is different. It's situational.
It should be, though, because numbers are zeros and ones. Everything is operated off of zeros and ones. So if I paid for this house and you paid for the furnishings in this house, why do you get two of my four walls of this house?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, take your bum-ass floating shelves.
Exactly.
I'll install some new ones.
Like, wherever you want to float them motherfuckers, do it somewhere else. But yeah, it don't make sense to me, but...
I'll go to the container store and start from scratch.
Done. Easy. It was just funny to me that he said it that way, but it's all good, though. And I mean, that was really my docket, for real. If you had anything else on yours... Well, actually, I had one more thing.
Well... I got, but before you get that off, let me get mine off real quick.
Go
ahead. Hyperloop promises New York to LA in 45 minutes.
Wow.
So, serial entrepreneur and billionaire Elon Musk is set to unveil design plans today for the Hyperloop, a super fast transport system that backers say could take people from New York to Los Angeles in 45 minutes. And fam, when I tell you my black ass will never be on that Hyperloop.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, my guy. I'm sorry.
Your legs going to be in New York and your body is going to be in L.A.
You talking about like what, 6,000-7,000 miles?
In 45 minutes?
In 45 minutes, and that's a lot of land. How?
Bro, you're going to die.
One, are you traveling through air or are you traveling through the earth?
Well, it says a video about the idea claims that the frictionless environment, the cars, each carrying six people, could top 4,000 miles per hour, six times the speed of a Boeing 757. The tubes could be built either above ground, buried, or laid under the ocean. Because the environment is sealed, passengers would not experience any greater G-force than riding in an automobile.
Okay, but how? But how? Because if you put them under, if you put them underground, there has to be some type of like system to where, like, is it hydroelectricity? Is it like a propulsion system? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Is it gravity? Is it magnetism? Is it like
they're defining this as space travel on Earth?
Okay, space travel. Does that mean teleportation? Does that mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, are you putting one magnet at one end of the Earth and the other one on, the, not Earth, but continent? And is it, like, a negative and positive type of thing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Is it, are you putting magnets inside the Earth to where...
Listen.
You got to let me know something, because that don't sound safe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what...
45 minutes, my guy?
But I'll rebuttal and say this, man. If whoever gets on that train or car, whatever you want to call this Hyperloop... The continental plates are going to shift and they're going to break, and California is going to be its own island if that happens. 4,000 miles per hour?
And I'm saying, so you're saying that you're not that there is not going to be any G-force felt, so that means you can't be in air. That means you can't be in air.
It's going to feel like you're in an automobile.
So you're either close to the crust of the earth or you're below it. You're not above it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're either underground, we're either traveling through the earth, or we're traveling, we're above it. In one way or the other, this shit doesn't sound safe, because it's too much shit that could go wrong in between.
Hey, your brain gonna be on Melrose.
Nigga, your brain gonna be melted. 45 minutes going 4,000 miles? You're fucking sick.
Your body gonna be on Fordham.
Listen, that is fucking ridiculous. Yo. Like, I don't see how that's gonna work unless they have literally like created some type of like,
well,
type of shit.
The scapegoat answer is technology. That's what everybody will say. Well, technology, you know, in 15 years, because best believe, I feel like shit that they're showing us now, they've been hip and privy to this 10 years ago. So all the technology and information that's coming out each and every day in 2022, me personally, I think they discovered this in 2012, 2011. They're just taking their time to roll everything out.
They might have. But the thing is, too, though, what you also have to remember is that there was testing. There was trials for all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like, back in the day when the first elevator was being created, when the first, like, trolley was being created, whatever type of shit was being created, there was still failures to them shits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before the first one worked. We haven't seen any testing. And not to say that there hasn't been any testing, but... public testing to where, like, people have actually tried the shit and it's worked or it's failed has not happened yet.
Oh, shit. Bill Nye stepped in. He said technology's tough but doable. Bill Nye tweeted Monday, problems are buying the rights of let me see. It says problems are buying the rights of way and perception of big government someday. The idea itself is actually quite old. A 1972 paper from the Rand Corporation outlined the concept and references to vacuum-sealed transport date back even further in pop culture.
All right, so check this out. I'm not going to say nothing else. If my nigga Bill Nye got into this, I believe everything he said. I don't give a fuck, okay? I don't care. Oh, whoever else worked on it, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, Bill Nye co-signed that shit?
Rap.
It's out of here. It's out of here.
Cool. We good. Say no more. What? The OG Bill? I believe everything he said.
Right.
Okay. It's only a couple people on this earth that I believe wholeheartedly. That's Bill Nye. That's the shorty that was on the school bus. the fucking, what was it?
Which school
bus? You know the cartoon. It's the magic school bus.
You talking about the bus driver?
Yeah, her.
Oh my God.
And Blue's Clues. Them the only motherfuckers that I believe hold.
Nah, he went to college on y'all niggas.
He did. But I'm not mad at it. I still take his word.
Nah, you said you was mad at it on the
Blue,
pod.
Blue's my nigga. Blue will always be my nigga. Okay? But nah. Bill? Yeah, we here. Say less, Bill. We on that motherfucker.
But what was your last topic so we can get up out of here?
U.S. House legalizes and decriminalizes weed.
So does my question to that, this is already passed, right? People who have a prior record, is that expunged?
Expunged. Out of there.
People that's in the...
Decriminalizes. So everybody that's in there now is being let out. Everybody that has charges or priors for it is being expunged out for your record. And you can no longer get arrested for it.
Oh, shit. Flowers, air horns, noises, all kinds of shit.
Now, I don't want to do that yet because they're saying this now. And you know what I'm saying? The words, like the actual words, like legalize, decriminalize, those words have been used. But I feel like there will always be some type of yes. You know what I'm saying? Because just as... how back then, before they made alcohol illegal to sell, you know what I'm saying, there was taxes on it, mm-hmm. all that extra shit. There was rules to it. So I could only imagine that's what they're going to do with this.
Pharma and the government are going to find a way to get their hands dirty, to tax it, chemicals.
There will be something.
All kinds of propaganda to do to it.
Yeah.
And get their shit off on it as well. Because, of course, they're not going to let... I don't even want to say the dealers, but they're not going to let the people who use or smoke weed, they're not going to let them just freely make money off of it and sell it.
And mind you, let me say this too, though. It's not all the way in the green. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? This is only the House that has passed this. The Senate still has to vote. It has to be passed into legislation. You know what I'm saying? Congress has to... everybody else that is not involved in this motherfucker yet has to be involved. It's only the House that has made... us blue,
right?
It's only the House that has passed this.
Yo, God willing, if it gets legalized across the entire country, including Georgia, bro, it would be dope to open up a cannabis store here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Bro Chillians, the Bro Chillian strand.
I'm not mad at it. Ooh. I'm not mad at it, but we might have to think of another name.
Scott Scheisty.
Nah,
hell no. Scott Scheisty strand?
No.
Ooh,
absolutely not.
That's an indica right there.
Nah. The sour skull, I'll do before
the Scott. The sour skull?
Yeah, I'll do before Scott Scheisty. But nah.
Nah.
It gotta be anything else. Anything else that. But I wouldn't be mad at it though. But yeah, so that's something that's definitely in the works. I just wanted to put that out there because I feel like there a lot of the initial priors that a lot of black people, men specifically, have on their rap sheet started from a minuscule, charge like weed. Mm-hmm. I feel like for that reason, a lot of people wouldn't be in the system. A lot of people wouldn't have priors. Right. And once you have priors, it's a lot easier, you know what I'm saying, to be thrown into that system for a lot longer than you need to be.
And not even that. It's that too, but... It was also detrimental to our communities. You know what I'm saying? A lot of kids growing up didn't have a father because of a simple offense like mm-hmm. having a 0.5 or mm-hmm. 3 grams. You know what I'm saying? And this continuation has made a lot of our communities disenfranchised.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? On all parts of the globe. So it's definitely unfortunate.
Let's be clear about this. This isn't, you know what I'm saying, a win for us. This isn't a celebration for us because, you know what I'm saying, oh, weed is legal. We can, you know what I'm saying, smoke now, like, freely. It's because this has been a very, 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 very catastrophic consequence to our culture in masses, because a lot of shit has been started, a lot of shit has been carried over for generations in people's families for little ass shit like this.
Right.
So yeah, let's be clear on that.
Yeah, it definitely, I appreciate that, man. That it does justice bringing up the notoriety of you know, legalizing or decriminalizing, I should say, the use of marijuana. So that's what's up, bro.
Definitely, definitely. But yeah, now that was my last one on the docket. If you had anything else on yours.
Man, again, man, RIP K-Dot, RIP Lano, long live, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate everybody who's been reaching out to me. Endless love, endless support. I appreciate you. I appreciate the first-timers.
The last-timers.
And the in-betweeners.
For coming by week after week, showing much love, however y'all do it, whether it is liking, sharing, commenting, subscribing, turning them post notification bells on, because we are on everything, man. Y'all can't miss us, bro.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, we're gonna hold our heads up high, chest, you know what I'm saying, strong. Out. So everybody out there listening, man, y'all just be strong. You know, a lot of people are going through a lot right now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, man, but I think the ultimate goal is to find God if you haven't, believe in it, stay strong in it, and we're going to get through this together.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? It's a marathon. It's not a race. Everybody has their own pace to the finish line, so don't get jaded. Don't feel like, damn, it's not my turn. Your time, just like my time and your time, Scott. Our time is coming, bro.
Big facts.
So you just got to believe in it. You got to own it. You got to say, I desire. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, I want this, I want that. You know, mm-hmm. I desire to have this. I desire to live the lifestyle that I want to. I desire to be successful and take care of my friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that's all I got, bro.
Shit, we're going to kick it like that then, man. Till next time.
Bro, Chilean's out.